Blog Talk Radio.
Oi there. I'm Lupito, and I want to welcome everybody listening to this here right now to the first ever, to my best knowledge at least, podcast for the Dead or Alive community. This is The Late Shift with Lupito. A couple of things that I want to get out of the way right off the bat. The rules for the chat room are as follows. If you troll, I will kick you. If there are too many people trolling to kick, I will just turn moderation on. What that does is it makes that nobody can talk unless I approve the message, and I'm the host of your show, of our show, okay? So please don't make me do that. I want you all to be able to discuss, to interact with me, to interact with whoever my guest is. Don't mess it up, okay? Okay. This is the pilot episode, and in this pilot episode, we're going to cover a lot of ground, but the highlights of what's going to be going on here is I have a very special guest for us to talk to. It is MC Quiggle himself. He's won about 5 billion tournaments by now, and as a matter of fact, I'll tell you all about it. He won ECT 2013, TFC 2014, Summer Jam 8 2014, ECT 2014, Winter Brawl, DOA Festival, KIT, TCW. Final round, he got second. That was in 2014. He also got second at NEC in 2015 and Summer Jam 2015. He did get a third at Summer Jam, but basically this can go on forever. He is a well-respected player in our community. He is a very nice guy, despite what might people say about him. And, people say that, top-level players are so cocky and arrogant and this and that and the other, and I don't buy that. Being a top player myself, giggle, giggle, wink, wink, I don't buy that. And we're going to have a chance to actually discuss all of this. Ladies and gentlemen, MC Quiggle.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, Quiggle, can you hear me?
Yep, I'm here.
All right, you're here, I'm here. They're all listening, so let's get right down to it. I'm going to ask some tough questions, right? I don't sugarcoat. You ready?
I'm ready.
All right. People say you're a cocky, you're egotistical. People say you snicker and you laugh, and they say you act like a total DB. What's up with that? I don't see it. Do you see it? Do you think you're a DB?
Well, I mean, a lot of people know me, and anybody that comes into contact with me at tournaments knows for a fact that I'm not cocky and I don't snicker at people for any reason. Seriously, like, half the time people see me, I'm like laughing at something or I'm smiling because I'm just a goofy person. So if anybody really thinks that I'm cocky, then they clearly don't know me.
Right. So there you go, straight out of the horse's mouth. And I'm pretty sure he can speak for himself and I can speak for me. One of the things within the DOA community is that players who are not considered quote-unquote top are always looking at the rest of us like we're some sort of, superheroes or like we're basically untouchable. Can we just both go on record here, Quiggle? You and I say that we are both just humans playing a video game?
Yeah, I can definitely agree. I'm considered a top player in this game, but just like anybody else, well, for most people, I'm just somebody that's playing a game for fun that I love playing. I happen to be good at it, sure, but at the end of the day, I'm playing it because I love the game, and I enjoy it just because it brings me and a bunch of friends together.
Exactly, and that's what this is all about. We are all here. You're in this chat room. You're listening to us. Everybody's doing this because we love the game, because it brought us all together. And we had a discussion with Tom Lee after Summer Jam. Like, it was a group of people. Some didn't attend, but that's okay because we're getting the message out now. Basically, what's going on is that we're supporting our game, and that's fine, but nobody else is. Nobody's looking at us. Nobody's seeing DOA. Nobody's seeing us like, celebrities, quote-unquote. Like, okay, so you have, Justin Wong, Chris G, all those people. Oh, yeah, we know them. They play Marvel. They're cool, right? What about Quiggle? What about Sweet Revenge? What about Lupita? What about Ricudo? What about Master? What about Tom Lee himself? What about Matt Ponton? What about all of us? Like, why are we not, you know, why are we not Chris G's? And I mean, you know, they have a bigger scene and that's fine, but here's the thing. We're here to help our scene grow, and that starts with us. So the question I have for Quiggle here is, what can we do, all of us that are listening? What can everybody that's listening right now do to make this a tighter community internally and then project that outwardly?
Well, I've had this talk, you know, time and time again with people like Tom, with Eric Small, you know, a few players that have had these meetings that we've had, like the one we had at Summer Jam. One big thing I've noticed in the DOA community is people's sense of egos. Now, I know that there's egos in every community, but since I'm a part of this one, I will have to say that a lot of times that people in the community, they're very salty, and when you try to offer them advice or talk to them about something, they tend to look at it as you're talking down to them, or, you know, they'll basically fight you against everything you're telling them. So to me, it just starts with player interaction with each other. People just need to learn how to get along. If somebody's offering you advice in the game, or, you know, maybe trying to help you out with whatever, really, you know, don't be so quick to try to fight them or try to say something smart or write that person off as an asshole just because they're trying to help you. And another thing I think is just promoting the game in general. You got players here in this game where, you know, they'll lose and they'll turn around and say, oh, I suck at this game, or blah, 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 this game is dead. It all starts from the players promoting their own game and saying how much they enjoy it. If the players here talk about they don't like their own game, why in the world is anybody else going to watch it? So as far as just getting the name out there, I really feel like it's really up to the players. Just promote the game, talk about it positively whenever you get a chance, whether that be online or offline. If you have friends that play other games, you know, just tell them, come check out the game sometimes, because it's an awesome game. There's no reason why I don't think the players, the top players in this community, can't become big names like the players you listed in other communities.
Exactly. And what you said, I want to focus on for just one second. It's as easy as spreading the message. I see all you guys are on my Facebook. You're all my friends. I see you share posts. You share posts about, you know, you do the memes. You do the serious stuff. Sometimes you even go out and talk about your personal life, hoping, you know, you spit in the wind and hope someone helps you out, and that's fine. But the majority of the time, you're all goofing around, you know, posting video game-related stuff. And video game-related stuff is fine, right? But DOA, you're on DOA so much. You play DOA. You talk about DOA. Why not say, hey, Facebook, let's get a session together. Let's get an online lobby. Because I see people in the competitive group, like anybody you want to play in, that goes unnoticed. It doesn't have to be limited to the competitive group. Post that on your personal wall. And if someone from your real life is like, what are you talking about? Say, you know, I play this video game. It's called Dead or Alive. That's not something to be ashamed of. If they know you and they're from your real life, they probably know you play video games. Why not tell them you play Dead or Alive?
Right.
And the most important thing is to remember why you're playing Dead or Alive, and you're playing Dead or Alive because you find it fun. To some degree, you find it fun. Nobody is playing DOA waiting for the next Tekken or the next Street Fighter. If you want to wait for that, you know, and you really don't like DOA, you go read a book, you go outside, you don't get on a video game to talk about how, oh, this game
how
isn't out yet, but it's better
like
than this one. Right. I hate this game, so I'm only here to pass the time until this game comes out. That's ridiculous. You enjoy DOA. You might not be the best at it, and that's fine. That's fine. But don't say you hate the game while you're playing the game. That's just silly.
Right. And you'd be surprised at how many people do that. I do see a ton of posts. Oh, my God, I suck at this game, but I can't stop playing it. Oh, maybe I should just stop playing it today because XYZ reason. And I'm like, why are you saying that? There are so many players and, like, people, tutorials, all that stuff that could help people improve in this game, but it's all a matter of whether they really want to do it or not.
Exactly. And there are unlimited resources for you guys to check out. And if you don't want to go on a forum to find your character in a in a list, to click on that link and to try to figure out what all of that says, send me a private message. If I get a private message saying, hey, Lopito, I'm learning, you know, Jay and Lee, for example. What is PPK? What does that mean? I don't know what that means. I mean, I want to do it. It sounds cool, but what is it? I'll tell you it's punch, punch, kick and send you home happy. Don't send me a message and be like, hey, Lopito, you're awesome. Like, okay, thanks. Like, you know, I don't need to be a celebrity in anybody's eyes. I'm just trying to play the game. And if you want to know something, ask me. I probably know it. And I,
right.
Can they do that with you too, Quiggle?
For the most part, I mean, I'm not going to sit here and pretend I know every single last thing about every character, but generally for the most part, I can answer a lot of the questions that people might have in certain characters. So if anybody has any questions, I'm here, same as Lopito. I'm pretty sure you guys follow a bunch of the top players that maybe play one of the characters you like. Just reach out sometime and ask them a question if you have one.
Yes, and brilliant. So we've got me, you. That's straight from Quiggles and Lupito's mouth. If you have a question, just come ask us. We're here. I'm also going to volunteer Sweet Revenge. He is a popular Jemfu player, won many tournaments, placed well in the rest of them. And he's always teaching people. I get into parties with him sometimes just to talk, and I'm helping someone right now, right? So, three top players, Caliber Blades, Electrified Man. I'm sure that they wouldn't tell you to just go, you know, F yourself.
Jump off
they
a
will,
cliff.
Right, yeah, they will help you. And if you're looking to get better, we can arrange that. We can make it a community feature. We can introduce a live Twitch show with Lopito, with Quiggle, you know, at some point, just plan it with us, talk it over with us. We'll get it featured on Free Step Dodge. We will have an educational live show going on where, you know, I personally can play multiple characters in the game. I can get on Twitch. I can look at the chat. I can pick different characters, bounce around, help different folks do different things, and there you go.
Right, same. I mean, everybody that's a top player basically knows how to play one to two, maybe some play like five, six characters. You know, they might not specialize in all of them, but we can maybe show you some things with the characters that you guys like that you don't know how to find on your own, maybe. Maybe we know a setup or a cool, you know, just something cool in general to show you with the character you're interested in or just give you general information about them. Maybe something you should be doing with this character, maybe something you shouldn't be doing with such and such character. So it really doesn't hurt to reach out to the people that play your characters or any of the top players for that matter, because almost any of us can help you guys out.
Exactly, and this is a brilliant segue. Thank you for that. Top players, Summer Jam, the most recent Summer Jam, you got dethroned. Your winning streak in tournaments has actually been abruptly and suddenly stopped by a certain Excalibur Blades with, of all characters, Elliot, who, for those that don't know, is on the lower end of the spectrum as far as tiers go. Tell me about that.
Okay, so now with that loss, I mean, of course, Excalibur is very, very good. He's an awesome player. You know, anybody that pays attention to Dead or Alive, he was the other American player that was selected to go to Japan with me. So whenever me and him play, we always have good matches. He's always a great opponent to fight. And with the Elliot matchup, I don't know if any of you guys have been paying attention to tournament history, but I don't fight any Elliots. I don't fight them online. I don't fight them offline. The last time I fought an Elliot was when Excali pulled him out on me at NEC last year. And I don't know if any of you guys are watching that too, but what happened at NEC last year, I lost that too. Now, to me, that's just saying, okay, nobody uses this character except Excali, who's one of the top players in the game. And if I don't know how to fight this character, coupled with the fact that I'm playing one of the top players using this character, I'm just looking like, what am I holding? What is this guy doing? So, as you all saw at Summer Jam 9 that just passed, yeah, I got bot free in the top 8 when me and Excali had our first fight. I was trying to adapt here and there when I made it back to the grand finals with him, but I'm just too unfamiliar with the character. So as far as, you know, playing him, I don't mind losing because I lost to a character matchup I don't know yet. But me being a top player, what does that say for me? It means I'm going to go home and I'm going to practice. I'm going to study. I'm going to ask Big Scally to play. Hey, show me some stuff with this character because, you know, kind of a BS reason to lose to a character just because you don't know how to fight them. So I'm actually looking forward to playing him again this coming weekend at CFC. He said he'll also be there. And hopefully I can, you know, reclaim my little win streak that I had going.
Well, I think you're going to be starting anew if you win more than reclaiming, but this is this may sound like fabrication, like I'm blowing up drama, but this is 100% genuine. I was playing Caliber Blades earlier, and I had a conversation with him, and he said, and I quote, "I don't think Quiggle is going to figure out how to fight Elliot in time. I also think Elliot is a very good matchup against Christie." My question is, why would Elliot be a good matchup for Christie on paper or in practice? How does that look like? You play the character, you fought Elliot. What's going on here?
Well, just off of, you know, the limited stuff I know, he's one of those characters, for example, where I couldn't tell you too much about him. But just from the few things that I do know, one, he's got mid and high parries, which basically makes you scared to attack him, kind of, because if he throws out parry and you throw out that hit level, you get parried and he gets a free stun, which leads to mix-ups. You know, he gets a free hit real quick and it puts you in a 50-50 guess right away. Kirstie, as you all know, has a bunch of strings on different hit levels, and once you learn the character, you realize what her attack patterns are. So with a character like Elliot, you have to be careful when you're throwing out attacks. And then I think in one of the most recent patches, it's his, I'm not sure if the direction is 7 or 9, but it's his up back punch or his up forward punch, one of those two. It's a 9-frame high that stuns you instantly on counter hit or above. It might even be on normal hit now, I'm not sure. But basically he's got tools to stop her from attacking. And then the fact that he's got reset throws and just mix-ups all over the place, I would say. Like, he's got a bunch of strings as well that he can delay until the end of time, apparently. So he's got stuff that I feel like can combat her. I don't know why people would say that's a horrible, horrible matchup, because it's not. I personally don't think Elliot is as bad of a character as people make him out to be. So the matchup to me is, basically, it comes down to whoever uses the character better or who knows more about the other character. And right now, I use Christie so much, almost anybody can, you know, figure out how she plays or how I play her. Versus Xcali, he's the only person that any of us ever see play Elliot. So when he pulls him out, it's like, oh my God, what is this character doing?
Right. And coming from a lonely Janley and Rachel player, please don't talk to me about infinite, endless strings as a Christie user. That's rude.
I didn't say infinite, but Elliot does have a lot of, you know, like, he, for example, what? Isn't he, like, the only character in the game that has, like, a 10-hit combo string just in his command list? Like, come on. Nobody else has that.
Yes, his delays are very interesting. And that's another thing that I wanted to cover, actually, is that before, you know, all you guys are, you know, if you're trying to get better, you're learning all your strings and all of that. One of the most important things to know is when you're getting hit and why you're getting hit. And that's exactly what a top player in Quiggle is facing right now. Would you agree with that, that you don't know after what move in his string he's actually unsafe because you haven't had the time to research it quite yet? That's a very important tool to know so you know when to interrupt.
Or what to hold, rather, because that was another problem while I was fighting him. The general attack pattern I know with Elliot is he goes from mid to high. And there were a few times while I was fighting him, you know, I'm like, okay, there's mid. I'd go to counter to high, but it never came out. So after I missed the high a few times, I was kind of just like, wow, I'm lost. I don't know what's coming next. So one, it wasn't just a matter of not knowing the strings. It was also not knowing what hit level they are. I don't know if a move hits mid, high, So trying to figure out what he's doing is kind of a pain when I don't know the strings.
Exactly, and that's something that even us top players, as you guys are seeing here, we have to know exactly what you have to know. We're not doing anything special that you can't do as far as figuring out everything that you need to know about the character you're losing to, the player you're fighting. And like we were saying earlier, you can ask us about it, but more so, you can ask, you know, amongst yourselves about these things. You can all get together and say, okay, you know, maybe we're not so good. Maybe we don't understand this. Maybe I understand frame data. Maybe I don't understand the inputs, but I know you do. You know, kind of make a cohesive unit, make a little lobby for yourselves, and everybody's going to pitch in. And before you know, you have a lobby full of people that are helping each other out. You all learn something, and it's all great. You know, you don't have to necessarily look up the guides, although it's, you know, it's advisable that you do. You don't have to. All of this is very much learnable without that, and without even asking a top player. I mean, I'm not saying that, like, don't come bother me unless you do your homework first. What I'm saying is that you don't have to wait for somebody to message you back in an hour or in a day or whatever, or look at a thread you posted hoping someone replied. You can do this in training mode. And one of the things that I was actually going to announce that Quiggle is actually going to be a part of this announcement since we have him on the line. I'm going to announce something that I have been personally working on, and I'm going to be working with Thorwolf of Free Step Dodge. He runs the forum. That's his forum. I want to make a guide, a newer guide, on inputs, directions, and frame data. There are about 5 million versions of them out right now. Each of them is very helpful. My version is going to be the simple version. It's going to be the most bare-bones explanation of what exactly 8K and negative 13 means. I think that a lot of people, myself included, you think I barely know the directions. I mean, I look at my keyboard, and I'm like, okay, 8 is this way. But a lot of people, they get discouraged because a lot of people, you know, they get on there and it's like, okay, I'm negative 2. I don't really know what that means. It says 10 on one side, negative 2 on the other. Then all these, you know, it's a tracking move. There are dashes in between. It says it's an offensive hold. Or wait, OH? What is OH? Oh, hello? Like, what does this mean to me? I want all of that explained for simplicity's sake.
Right. To somebody maybe that's not as familiar with the game, or just how the system works in general. Like, another big part of the game is the triangle system. So anybody that plays the game, you know, for example, in certain other games, you'll see somebody getting attacked and they get like this whole long guaranteed combo or something like that versus in Dead or Alive. There's a huge, you know, metagame behind it with the counter system. Is this person going to counter my next move, or are they going to slow escape and, you know, try to attack back? You know, what is going to happen next? So I feel like there's a lot that could be broken down very simply in this guide, because I've seen them. I've seen all the guides as well. When you read some of them, a few of them, if a new player was coming in and trying to look at these guides, they'd be like, okay, I don't even know what any of this stuff is. So if you can break it down and make it even more simple, I think that'd be awesome for people who would probably want to get into the game.
Yep, I think that the groundwork for it is there. I have my Microsoft Word open. I've typed a little bit here and there. I mean, I don't even have a full paragraph yet, but this isn't something that happens overnight. And
right.
I'm going to probably get a lot of support from people because, you know, I don't know if we've covered this yet, but we're all humans playing a video game. So some of the stuff I type, yeah, it could completely be wrong. And that would just be a tragedy. You know, I don't want to post a guide up like, hey, this is how you do it, or just kidding, I don't know what I'm talking about.
Right. But, I mean, I don't think that'll be a problem. I'm sure there are more than enough people, like you said, Mr. Sorwa, Slybass, me, just other players that are good with that stuff. I'm pretty sure they won't let you post up a guide that's completely wrong.
Exactly. One other thing that I have to mention that has nothing to do with anything we've been talking about is that I am currently ill. So if you hear coughing, wheezing, both. Yeah, that's me, and I apologize. I will try not to be as sick for the next episode of this, but I just wanted to get this podcast out. I wanted to show everybody, you know, because tournaments go, like, everyone goes to a tournament, everyone's hyped. A week later, the hype dies down, and then nobody talks about anything again until the next tournament. Hype train is not dying down. Hype train is real. We're all on the expressway to HE double hockey stick, so we're going to make it fun between tournaments, too. Right. And that's where the effort comes in from all of you guys to keep DOA relevant and to get it noticed. You got to talk about it. And I'm not saying, you know, dedicate your entire life to talking about Dead or Alive, because that's just silly. But I'm saying, you know, talk about it. It's a good game. Play it. You'll feel better.
And I don't think that's too much to ask from anybody that, you know, plays this game or is interested in it. Just spread the word. Talk about it. Hey, this is a game that I really like. It's really cool. And it needs a better spotlight than the one it has.
Exactly. And we as a community, even if you've never been to an offline tournament but have been talking on DOA forums or the group for any length of time, doesn't matter if you were here 10 years ago or if you're here now. If you're a part of this community, if you know at least one other person, which, I mean, everyone at this point probably does, we deserve to be on the front page of Shoryuken, Test Your Might, yeah? We deserve that because we're awesome people playing an awesome game. They're awesome people playing their awesome games, and I'm not saying that a Mortal Kombat-dedicated website is going to plaster DOA and our faces all over it. No, I'm saying that if somebody brings up DOA, people are going to listen. They're going to be like, oh, this is interesting. And then, you know what? Maybe you'll pick up another game as a result. They'll pick up DOA. You'll pick up Mortal Kombat. Both of you just got two new video games to play. Both are fighting games. They're pretty complex. I've played them both. So, I mean, hey, you got a video game, a friend out of it. You promoted DOA. Mortal Kombat got a shout-out. Now that you're playing it, it's just a win-win for everybody. And speaking of Mortal Kombat, for 2 seconds, what is up with your brother in Perfect Legend? Like, what happened?
Okay, well, I mean, that was on the main stage. For the life of me, I don't understand why Perfect Legend did that. So basically, all right, I don't know how you guys wouldn't know who Perfect Legend and Sonic Fox are, but basically they're the two biggest names in the NetherRealm Studios right now. So Sonic Fox, my brother, you know, he's like the biggest NetherRealm Studio player right now. Like, he's quote unquote the best in the game right now. So basically Perfect Legend is a 2-time Evo champion for Mortal Kombat 9, I think that was the title. So basically it's old champion versus new champion, and for reasons unknown, Perfect Legend decided to go on Twitter and pose a first to 10 challenge against my brother, saying he'll body one of his characters on stream. I want to say it was Aaron Black or Katana, one of the two. He said he will body them. So my brother accepted his challenge, you know, just like I think anybody else would do. Somebody publicly challenged you like that, what are you going to do? You're going to accept their challenge. And as you all saw, it didn't go too well for Perfect Legend because he got beat 10-0 and the entire world exploded, basically. I don't think I've ever seen anything like it happen in the history of video gaming ever. Like, a first to 10 and somebody got 10-0'd and you're supposed to be one of the top players in this game. And then try to cover it up by saying, oh no, I said I'd body your other character, and my brother switches to his other character and beats him again in a first to 3-0. So for reasons unknown, Perfect Legend thought that that was a good idea, and my brother bodied him free. I don't know how he's ever going to recover from that. I've seen all kinds of memes and just goofy pictures talking about saving Perfect Legend. You know, just all types of crazy stuff ever since that happened. So that's all it was. It was old champion versus new champion. He pulled the challenge. My brother bodied the crap out of him and basically boasted himself after. I mean, who wouldn't, you know, be cocky or boast himself after you just beat somebody 13-0 in the first attempt?
That's tragic. My condolences are with Perfect Legend. He'll be okay.
I don't want to laugh, but it's like I almost feel bad at the same time. You know, it's like that's really kind of sad almost that happened. Like I just don't even know what to say to that. I'm like, wow, you just got beat 13-0. Like I don't know what to say. Like I'm literally at a loss for words. Like I was there watching it happen in person. It was like horrible.
I mean, yeah, I saw it. I was perplexed, but I'm going to do something really quickly here, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to give the listeners in the chat, I'm going to take three questions, first come, first serve. These questions will be answered by Quiggle, so if you have something to ask Quiggle, ask him. In the meantime, a point that I want to stretch, and I will stretch, and I'm going to sound like a broken record, but that's just going to happen sometimes. Carl and I, Perfect Legend and I, have not been the best of friends ever, I don't think, since, you know, DOA 2 Ultimate, since we were playing on there. But at Summer Jam, we sat in the same room, and, you know, there were casuals going on. We interacted, and that's respect. And respect in the DOA community is something that a lot of us have forsaken for greener prospects? How's that phrase go? I have no idea. But anyway, what I'm trying to say is that a lot of people in the DOA community, even me included at times, have just said, you know, we don't want respect. We just want what's best in the moment. And that's something that can't stay. If you don't like someone, cool. You don't have to like someone. If you see them offline, treat them with respect. You know, interact with them. You don't have to go out to dinner. But you don't have to, but if if everyone's being nice and you're just coming off as a complete and total jerkwad, you're the one that's going to get singled out, and that's on you. Treat everybody like you want to be treated by everybody. And, you know, if you do that, you'll make some friends. We'll have a tighter community. If we're going to be talking about DOA, people are going to say, oh, okay, these group of people, they like each other and they like their game. They're going to join in, and that's what matters. That's the whole point of this. Free Step Dodge on the chat wants to know, Quiggle, what was your first, and he means your very first tournament experience like? Were you nervous or confident, et cetera?
Okay, so my actual first tournament experience, it was Summer Jam 6 3 years ago when they were unveiling Dead or Alive 5. I think, wasn't that the first tournament you won? And it was when the game wasn't even out yet at the time. They were kind of just having the opening tournament. So basically, whoever got to play the game more in the 2 days before the tournament basically lucked up. So my first tournament experience, it was actually a lot of fun. I mean, first things first, I didn't know any of the top players. So just like any of you guys who maybe are scared about coming to your first tournament or, you know, not knowing anybody, you guys, for the most part, probably know some of the top players and their names now. I didn't know anybody. When I went there, I had no idea who Chosen One was or Lopito, Sweet Revenge, E-Man. Like, if you had asked me who any of those players are, I would have looked at you like I was crazy. So going in, yeah, I was a little bit nervous, but then again, I'm like, okay, I know I'm not, you know, terrible at this game, so let me just come in and see how I do. And look at that, my first tournament, and I ended up getting, what was it, fifth place, I think? And ever since then, you know, it just showed me like, wow, I might be able to do something with this. So yes, was I nervous, but two, I had a lot of fun. I got to meet all of the top players of the game. And basically anybody that I've met from that point on, there are people that I've been in contact with since that tournament. And I would recommend to anybody that wants to come out, you should definitely do it, because there's nothing like meeting the people that you get to play online with it's awesome seeing the people that you met through the game you love offline and hanging out with them. You know, the stuff that happens inside of the tournament and outside of the tournament, there's no way to describe it in somebody. You can't make a post long enough to describe what it's like to come through offline tournament. So my first experience was awesome, and I would recommend to anybody that's scared about coming to your first tournament, don't be. Just when you pop up, let everybody know you're a new player. This is your first tournament, and trust me, you will be welcome.
I couldn't have said it better myself. Now, we have a question from another user who says, Quiggle, do you actually train DOA with your brother, Sonic Fox? If yes, how much?
When the game first came out, me and him used to play, like, religiously. Like, I swear to God, you could not get us off that game for nothing. But since the NetherRealm studio is more his area of focus, you know, he was always more into games like Injustice and Mortal Kombat. So I actually don't play with him much nowadays, especially because he's like the face of, you know, Mortal Kombat right now. I really don't get to play with him much. See, I don't even remember the last time I sat down and played DOA with him, to be perfectly honest. But me and him did used to play a lot in Vanilla and Ultimate.
All right, that sounds fair to me. And we have the third question. What was your first DOA game, and who was your original main?
My first Dead or Alive game was actually Dead or Alive 3. That was the first Dead or Alive I ever played. I didn't necessarily have a main in that game because, to be perfectly honest, I wasn't even good enough to know what a main was. Shoot, if you had asked me who was your main character, I would have looked at you like, what? There's a main character. So I played DOA 3 for a little bit, scrubbing it up, you know, hitting buttons, thinking I'm doing something with my little brother. And then Dead or Alive Ultimate, what was it, Dead or Alive 2 Ultimate, the remake or something that they did in HD of the first and second Dead or Alive, I played that. I still couldn't even pick a main character. It wasn't really until Dead or Alive 4 came out. That was, you know, when I first played online and I had found my character. My original main character was Kasumi. She was the first character I ever picked up heavily and loved. Then somewhere along the lines, I tried out Christy in Dead or Alive 4, and she was awesome. But I mainly focused on Kasumi. It wasn't until 5 came out that I really mained Christy because I liked everything that they did with her, and I liked everything they did with Kasumi as well, but it was just, Chrissy just had this more, she was just more appealing to me in Dead or Alive 5, so that's why I focused more of my attention on her in 5.
That's fair, and I think both characters are good for the record. Kasumi has tools that Chrissy doesn't have, and Chrissy has tools that Kasumi doesn't have. And that's, you know, that's something that we can cover if anybody's interested in that proposed idea earlier with the training, the live training. We actually have a fourth question, and this is going to really be the last one because this is a bonus. I said three. But I'm going to rephrase this a little bit. But basically what this person is asking is that were you asked at the DOA Festival not to beat on downed opponents after you KO them?
Yes, I mean, apparently over there in Tokyo, it's considered disrespectful to hit your opponent on the ground after you've beaten them. And, I mean, generally, I don't do that already anyway. I usually don't hit people on the ground unless I'm playing them online or something like that and they're playing like the worst connection in the world, but they still have the nerve to come in and play me. I'll hit you on the ground because I'm frustrated while I'm fighting you, but 9 times out of 10, I don't hit people on the ground. I think it's more funny to do random attacks and fly all over their body instead.
I mean, yeah, that's very interesting because over here, as you know, most people do attack KO'd opponents even after they've KO'd them. And we never... Some people, like I know E-Man, he talked about this a little bit at Summer Jam. He used to get upset about that. But from most people that I know, we don't really seem to mind all that much.
Right. I think most people over here, at least for the most part, they'd see it as trolling, I guess you could call it. Like when somebody hits me on the ground after they beat me, you know, one round or something like that, and they're talking crap or whatever, I'm kind of just looking at them like, okay, do it again. And I'm just like, all right, let's see if you're hitting me on the ground at the end of this next match. So when people do it to me personally, I kind of just laugh it off like, okay, you're hitting me on the ground. My version of hitting you on the ground is flying all over your body with these random attacks that I'll never actually use in game. So, I don't know. I guess it's just different things for different people. Some people like hitting others on the ground. Some stand there patiently waiting for the next round. Some, like me, like I said, they'll do the most random attacks you never get to see your character do all over your dead body.
Yeah, and see, with me, usually, if I'm like, it's a mind game that I don't think that anybody realizes is a mind game, but I'm going to expose it right now. And, you know, if nobody cares, then okay, maybe it psychs me up, and that's good enough for me. But I'll usually hit people on the ground in tournament after I've KO'd them, unless they get, like, if I'm playing you in a tournament and I get around, for you to know that I'm super serious, I'm just going to stand there, like, cool and collected, and that is supposed to freak you out.
Right.
Pardon me,
and
but whether
people,
it actually does
think
or
when
not.
When you're hitting them on the ground, I'm sorry, I was talking while you were talking, but I was just saying, sometimes when people hit others on the ground, they use it also sometimes as a tactic. They'll use that to, like, maybe make them mad or, like, you know, frustrated, like, hey, why are you hitting me on the ground, to kind of take away, you know, like make them angry, kind of make them play differently or react differently. I don't know if people still do that, but that was one tactic I remember people used it for.
Right, and I mean, that's realistically not a bad tactic, because an angry player is not a focused player, and in DOA, you know, despite what people say about us or our game, we have to be 100% in that monitor that we're staring at, because if we're not, we're going to get bopped. I have a fifth question for you, which is coming from the Facebook chat. If you're not in the Dead or Alive Facebook group, it's the Dead or Alive competitive group. Feel free to join it. Send me a private message personally saying you joined, and you will be added to the chat, where all updates and discussions about the DOA community, how we can better it, and plans for this podcast will be posted. This isn't just the Lopito show. This is our show. Amber, who cannot log into the chat on the website where I am hosting this beautiful production, can only ask in the Facebook chat, and I am doing my best to keep up with both of the chat rooms, plus everything that's going on around me, you know, just to keep the ship, you know, on the water instead of under it. She really wanted to ask you something, and what she wants to ask is, at tournaments, which player do you get nervous to fight when you are going up against them?
I mean, I wouldn't necessarily say I get nervous fighting any player. Like, you know, I've never been called up to the stage and actually get nervous when I'm walking up to go fight somebody. If anything, it's more so maybe once I get into the match and say I'm going against a really good opponent. Like, say, for example, like Scally or Electrified Man, something like that. If I'm playing them and I'm looking at the flow of the match and I'm watching how it's going, I get nervous as the fight's going on, because I'm like, wow, I don't know where this is going. Oh, my God, who's going to win? Why do I feel like something random is about to happen? Who's going to take this? You know, stuff like that. So I'm not going to say I get nervous per se before the fight, but maybe during the fight I'm just like, oh, my God, we're all really good. We know that this could easily go any kind of way, so what's about to happen? So I more so get nervous in really close, intense fights, like the one, for example, that just happened with me and E-Man in the losers' finals at Summer Jam. I know you all saw how close I was to losing. Like, there's a point where even I was looking, I'm like, yeah, am I dead? It was that third match where he had, like, a full life bar, basically, and I was down to, what, like, 25% of my life. And I'm just looking like, yeah, well, I'm about to get 3-0'd and lose the finals. Like, am I really about to lose like this? So moments like that, I'm just like, okay, what is about to happen? Those are moments where I'll get nervous. But that entire fight, that was like my favorite fight period, the whole tournament, because each round I had no idea what was going to happen. He could basically kill me at any moment. And I'm sitting here fighting back like, okay, is he going to do it or is he not going to do it? So, Amber, I hope that answers your question. I don't necessarily get nervous before I'm fighting anybody, but as the match is going, if it's a really intense fight with a really good player, I kind of get anxious like what's about to happen.
That's actually brilliant, because I was having a discussion with Sweet Revenge. You know, he said, oh, you have to fight Hoodless or you have to fight, you know, X player. And I'm just like, oh, but in my head, you know, it shouldn't be, oh, because we're all good enough to beat each other. We all can. It's not a question of can I beat Quiggle or can Quiggle beat Excalibur Blade. The answer is yes. The question is, on that day, in that specific, however long the match is, time frame, will it happen? Because it can. The question is, will it?
Right. Which way is it going to go? That's why I said when the match is really intense and you can't predict a clear winner, it's what's going to happen. That's
right.
All that's going through my mind.
Okay. Mr. Waugh from Free Step Dodge has a question, and this will legitimately, I promise, be the last one.
it's cool.
What's the one thing you'd like to see the community focus on accomplishing over all other things it should accomplish?
I mean, me personally, I would just have to say I'd like to just see the community grow, like plain and simple. I just want to see more people enjoying the game for what it is. I want to see more people, you know, and just act like more of a community. I know every community has got its problems, you know, with the online, the offline, that type of stuff, people who do and don't like each other. But for us all to be playing this game and we all basically know each other for the most part, I just want to see people be welcoming of new players and to respect players that they already know. Just watching the community grow, period, whether it be bringing in new players or shedding knowledge, what they know about the game with other people, getting other people interested in the game. I just want to see our community grow in a positive way.
And that's exactly why we're here, and that's exactly what we're trying to start and build upon. We have about 13 minutes left on air, so I'm going to give you the opportunity to say anything that you have to say to the community before we let you go. And the rest of the show, I'm going to cover some things that I wanted to cover. So if you have anything to say, we've got a decent number of people listening, and, you know, this is going to be archived, so if you've got something to say, let them have it.
I mean, anybody that knows me, y'all know I'm goofy and silly, I'm fun, all that stuff. So I'm just going to say I hope for the first podcast, I hope anybody that's listening, you enjoyed the show. Maybe you figured out something about me, or, you know, I was able to answer a question or say something you guys maybe didn't know about me before. I hope you guys are all looking forward to TFC. That's coming up this coming weekend. That'll be another fun tournament to watch. And last note, I just want to personally thank my newfound sponsor, RIG, for picking me as well as Crazy Steady up on, you know, just on the team, because they offered us a lot of awesome possibilities. So definitely have to shout out my sponsor, RIG Brainy. Guys, go follow him on Twitch, Twitter, all that stuff. So hope you guys enjoyed the podcast. And
did you just plug your sponsor on my show?
I mean, I had to. I just had to thank him personally. But no. Go ahead and take it away.
Did you just plug it? But it's our first step, but I'm just kidding. Shout-outs to sponsors are fully endorsed and allowed as far as I'm concerned, though. Every sponsor, well, the majority of the sponsors for video games, they are not easy to get into, and the guys they do a great job at providing the players with things from what I hear. I myself have never been sponsored, but if anybody's interested, wink, wink. a shout out, definitely a shout out to Eric Small, Big E Events. Katsu, KIT, I mean, any tournament that has ever been hosted, whether it's in a basement or a giant grand hotel. Shout outs to
anybody
all of you guys putting
that
together.
Anybody that's part of the DOA community.
Right. Everybody supporting, hosting, attending, whatever. You guys are all a part of it. And love and respect for each and every one of you.
All right. I think it's time for me to head out of here, guys, and I'll let Lopito handle the rest of the show. Hope you guys enjoyed me. Talk to y'all later.
Thanks for joining us. All right. So, Quiggles is now off the air. He is going to be hearing some of this stuff for the first time as the rest of you guys. One thing that when I started the thread on Free Step Dodge, I knew there were going to be people that are saying, oh, Lopito, well, you know, you can't do this. Like, this community needs a hero or you know, a face, but can't be you. Okay. You want to go check out that thread for yourself? Go ahead. Ronsu, an old school player. He's been around. He's been around forever, like myself. He said, you know, you can't do this. And here's my rebuttal to that. Straight up, simply, in a few words, if I can't do this, who's gonna do this? Because anybody can go to what you're listening to. Anybody could start this. Anybody could have started this at any time. Anybody can still start this at any time. Now, I don't want to sit here and be competing for which show gets more listeners, because we're supposed to be a community, you know, combined, not divided. But the point is, there has been infinite opportunity for any one of you guys to do something. And a lot of you guys have, and it caught on, and it was good, and maybe it's still going on. Maybe, you know, there are tournaments going on in states that we don't know about for DOA. That's just how the world works. It's too big. We can't just assume that the majors are all that there are. There's a lot more than that. And for people saying, oh, Lopito, you're a troll, okay, here's a couple things about Lopito. One, Lopito is a fictional character made up, right? I do not walk outside and act like I do when I play DOA or when I go into troll mode, whatever you want to call it. I don't walk around outside, pick up a baseball bat, hit a kitten in the head, and then shove my grandma's toenail up my behind and then, you know, have a Bible on hand and call it a day. Like, that's ridiculous, right? Lopito is an extension of a person, right? And without going into my personal life way too much, I'm a creator. I'm artistic, right? Is that the word they're using? Artistic? It's an extension of me, but I am not 100% irrational, always trying to hurt somebody's feelings. Like I said in the post, Lopito is a joke. If you get offended, that's a joke that you didn't find to be funny. Now, if you keep getting offended, you know, that's on you, man. Like, I'm not going to stop trolling people. I'm not going to put a halo on my head and say, oh, I'm doing this, you know, podcast now. I'm trying to build up the community. I'm still going to be Lopito. When you message me, expect me to be really, really, really mean to you. But remember, it's in jest. It's a game. We're playing a game. I'm playing a game. Everybody's having fun. And if I genuinely hurt your feelings, be like, hey, man, stop. And if I'm in a good mood, I probably will. See, there you go. That's Lopito coming out right there. Of course I'll stop. I'm not actually trying to hurt anybody's feelings, unless I am, which you wouldn't know because I wouldn't tell you. But the point is that I'm not qualified to do this. I mean, we've got 28 listeners. We had a nice interview with Quiggle. The chat room participated. I haven't cussed anyone out yet. So, I mean, if I'm not, feel free. But to this day, you know, aside from Free Step Dodge, Facebook groups, like, something like this for our community hasn't been done. And I enjoy doing this. This is kind of what I do to a deeper extent than, you know, this podcast thing. This kind of what I do. It's fun. Everyone can participate. And I just said, why not? Why can't we be as popular as the cool kids on the block. Like, why can't we be the cool kids? Why can't we stand next to them in that spotlight? And there's no reason that we can't. Tom Lee. Let's talk about Tom Lee, right? Everyone thinks Tom Lee is some mysterious, evasive figure that appears and has private gatherings. And, I mean, I'm sure that he has had that. And I'm sure that he has he works for Team Ninja. He's a ninja. Okay? Tom Lee is a good person. Tom Lee is a passionate person. Tom Lee, as much as I know about him, which is not that much more than you guys, Tom Lee does not need to come out to tournaments. He doesn't even play the game. Right? He doesn't play it. He comes out to see us, to talk to us, to say hi to us. He says, you know, you guys, we got this game. Like, let's do something with it, right? As far as profit, like, he's not just, it's not a PR thing. He's not, at first, I was the biggest one who said, you know, I was the first one. I was like, yeah, Tom Lee's out there, right? That's like, you know, Bill Gates comes out for a Microsoft meeting, oh, profit, right? That's outdated because that ship has long sailed for Bill Gates. But I hope he's doing well. If you're listening, Bill Gates, you know, good game, good job. But Tom Lee, yeah, he comes out because he loves us. He doesn't come out to play the game. He doesn't come out to see the game. He helped make the game. He comes out for us. And he wants to see us do better for ourselves. And that's the point of this podcast. That's the point of, you know, the training sessions. You know, it's to help you feel like you're a part of something because you are. And I'm not saying that necessarily you guys need a reward like, oh, you're in here right now, you know, plus 1 point. If you get to 5 points, you get $10. No, it's a return. This, all of this is a return. It's a return from us to us. It's a return to Team Ninja for bringing us together because of this game that they made that we love. And it's a return that is going to continue pouring in profit, and not just financially. It's going to keep bringing us happiness. It's going to keep bringing us joy. We're going to be happy because we have been happy playing this game. We've been happy interacting with all the people we've met. And it's something that we can do, have done, and should continue doing for ourselves, but on a grander scale than before. Excuse me. Like I said, I'm sick. Tom Lee is a great guy. If you see him in a tournament, come up to him. And for the spoiler alert of what my next podcast will entail, and as far as a time and a day, I can't tell you that because that's not going to be up to me. That's going to be as much up to you guys as it is going to be up to me. There will obviously be limitations. I mean, I'm not going to do this at whatever random time the majority votes on. I have to be comfortable with it as well. Immediately after this podcast, there will be a thread on Free Step Dodge. It is going to be called Late Night with Lopito, or The Late Shift with Lopito, right? I should probably get that right. That's my own podcast name. That thread will entail a few options. I don't know if it's going to be in poll format yet. We'll see how many votes the polls allow. If not, you guys will have the option to vote on time. You will have the option to vote on topic. And that's not me saying, oh, I'm out of ideas, I'm out of steam, you guys help me out, what do I do and when do I do it? No. I'm giving everybody, and I mean everybody, a choice in what this is, because this isn't just me. This is ours. And this will remain ours for as long as we cherish, nurture it, and protect it, because it deserves that. Our game deserves that. Our people, and by our people I mean us who play the game, we deserve that. Because at the end of the day, Lopito and the person behind Lopito is a DOA player. And I'm very, very, very proud to be a DOA player. So until next time, you guys, just keep fighting. Because I'm a fighter, that's not a slogan. It's who we are. Good night.